sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tom Arnold is our guest tonight. Tom, you know from many, many, many endeavors, and the latest and possibly one of the more successful endeavors Tom has been involved with is
one of the few successful.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Well, TV shows come and go, but this Best Damn Sports Show has been around for quite some time and doing well and sort of gathering a healthy momentum.
It is.
More popular now than it was 6 months ago.
True.
More popular then than it was 6 months before that.
Yes.
What did I read about in Time Magazine or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, it's all over. It's huge.
I'm wondering.
The critics hate it, but
I don't know. You know what it is for, I mean, as you know, I'm being partnered with Jimmy, who's been getting a lot of crap over the last few years for actually bringing a little levity.
I like Jimmy.
Into sports.
Yeah.
Why not sports? What? Why is it so, what's the sanctimony about sports?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is a weird thing. There's a weird. Snobbishness about sports of all things, and John Madden has it.
He
hates guys like Jimmy and me. And
really,
yeah.
Well, here's the problem with sports. Sports has two types: ex-jocks who basically want to kick your ass like they kicked the nerd's ass in high school if they pipe up.
Oh, your buddy John Crook?
Yeah.
He scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
He started coming after me. I was like, whoa.
He's just grouchy.
Well, I'm talking more your Howie Long, Terry Bradshaw type. John Crook seems more like one of us. But they have the ex-jock whose impulse is just to beat up anyone who raises their voice.
Yeah.
And it's been working fine for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
Why not? And then there's this sort of Madden type, which is, and the Howard Cosell type. These are old blowhards. These are basically guys who can't admit they do next to nothing for a living, so they have to make it a little more important than it actually is.
They were businessmen. They were never really athletes and stuff.
You have to understand something,
that's
too.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're not businessmen. They're blowhards. I mean, they're not athletes. They're blowhards.
But they also, you know, humor... is what they use humor in their, you know, when
their banter,
you know, when what's his name is going in his Madden is does his humor as Madden team, but it's okay for him to use the humor there, but he doesn't like it from other, you know,
right?
He only likes bad humor.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
food humor.
It's so, like, I just saw a documentary on Howard Cosell, and I love the guy. I mean, I love to watch a guy work, but what an old blowhard.
Oh, really?
What a complete.
But that's what his charm was.
In real life,
it's
though?
True. And everywhere.
Yeah.
All the way around. And his whole thing with, like, Monday Night Football was, why does Don Meredith, what gives him the right to be in this booth with me? How dare he join a broadcast journalist, a man with years and years of training, a man who has paid his dues? How dare this country bumpkin come up from the field and sit next to and work with
their
me?
His whole thing was to put Alex Karras next to them.
Yeah, exactly. And then OJ, so he's like, give me Meredith, man.
Well, that's when he died.
But, the thing was, is I'll tell you what gives you the guy the right. He played.
Yeah.
He was out on the field.
And he's humorous. Don Meredith was great. And them together made it great. The fact that they were antagonistic a little bit, that's what made it great. And Frank Gifford in the middle.
Yeah, but I don't understand. I mean, I don't want to get Jimmy in trouble, but poor Jimmy. He comes to me all the time. He's like, oh, these guys, I can't say anything about Terry Bradshaw. I can't say anything about Howie Long. He can't say anything about these guys. But even though they're playing, you know, Terry Bradshaw hasn't laced up the pads in 20 years, he's still like a high school jock.
But can I tell you something about Terry and Howie? This is true. Those things are probably not coming from them. They're coming from a nervous producer down there, because I found those guys to be funny and funny, selfie-facing. But I think the producer's like, because they're always like with me, hey, Howie's coming in, man, so let's keep it, you know, keep it about football.
There's definitely an element of that, but and they are self-effacing to some degree, but there's a difference between self-effacing and having some guy
abuse you.
Who yourself could beat the crap out of effacing
it. Yeah, that's
and
true.
I think that's
nobody likes that, though.
Nobody likes that. And you know the thing that's funny? It's sort of interesting, and it's great. It lets you know you're human. Even though there's cameras, and there's technology, and there's boardrooms, and there's lawyers, and there's this and that, the bottom line is, Howie Long is 6'5", and he's still 265, and that is a definite deterrent when it comes to saying stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's weird. It's like, it's not as if Howie Long is going to go give a pounding to Tom Arnold or Jimmy Kimmel or anybody.
But it does cross your mind when you're sitting next to the big man.
You would talk smack about Vern Troyer or something much more easily than you would about Howie Long. Even though it would probably be the best day of your life if Howie just gave you a good whack in the face. You could retire.
Right.
You could claim you were you'd probably be disfigured, Tom.
True.
But you would just, you'd take every paycheck would just go straight to your house.
Right.
You could claim you're a nervous wreck and you couldn't work anymore.
We had Mike Tyson on 2 weeks ago, and everybody's like, is he going to punch you? It was good. Yeah. It was good. He used the word cerebellum in a speech, but he was great. And he sat next to me there, and he goes, why does everybody want me to beat the crap out of you? You know, except that was a terrible impression I just did, but you know what he sounds like.
Yeah, you know what you did? You did generic. Eric Black.
Exactly. Exactly.
You did like Rollo from Sanford and Son. You did generic Black, Tom. You didn't do Tyson Black.
Yeah.
It's a little confusing when a black guy takes on a voice other than a black guy. It's hard for us white guys to
keep up. Another issue we've been dealing with is the fact that some of the women from Fox Post and Maxim Magazine, Lisa Guerrero, Leanne Tweed, Jillian Barbary, and then they're criticizing them, some of the sports writers are criticizing them because they say they're crossing the line, they can't be journalists.
Sure. Yeah. And by the way, they never thought of them as journalists, those sports writers, ever.
But it had nothing to do with why they were on the show with these guys, how they looked.
Right. Here's the deal, and I think I can distill it all down to this. Sports writers are some of the are people that like to complain. I mean, it's in the fiber of their muscle.
Well, journalists,
they like to go. Journalists in general, but especially sports journalists, they love to go to an event and they love to either build up something or just tear it down piece by piece. And it's not really within their nature to say, all right, well, you know, to each his own.
Right.
They're not those kind of people.
True.
And it's funny. They do the most complaining about the most things, and people listen the least.
But you know, I'll tell you something interesting about the women involved. Then the women, and women are tough. They kind of look at other women, and they're like, I'm not that person.
They are so tough on each other.
Yeah, they're brutally
people have actually studied the double standard, that women complain about so much, that why can a woman not have sex with many men, but men can go do whatever they want. Turns out women perpetuate double standards. Men, they're happy to go out with these women that date lots of guys and have sex with lots of guys.
Right.
They let go of it right away. They'll be their friends. Women, they shun them.
Right.
And they tell you not to be around them, too.
Right, exactly.
It is true that we are essentially framed for the double standard.
Yes. Well, we start it. We make note of it. It bugs us, and then we let go.
But women do the most judging on the double standard and then claim that guys.
And I think it's harder for women if they're beautiful or what's perceived as beautiful to be around other beautiful women. I mean, they got to be the most beautiful. There can only be one super beautiful woman in any work environment, or else there's going to be trouble.
Right. That's why I hooked up with Kimmel. I got to be the best I can do in my team.
No, you made it pretty easy on yourself.
Yeah, Drew, too, by the way.
Thank you.
All right. Now, our computer is down, yes,
so I've got
Drew?
Some calls written down here. They're thinking ahead of us here. Let's take a look.
What happened to our computer, by the way?
We can't figure it out. It just completely went down on us. Went black.
Thank God Tom Arnold is here tonight to scant with us.
Do it the old way. We'll have them shuttle in pieces of paper the way we did it for years on this show.
It is?
Yeah, five.
All right, line five?
Yeah.
And what's the name, Drew?
Justin, 14.
Justin?
Hey.
Well,
hey,
it worked.
Adam, Drew, you guys are, you're gods.
Thank you. Yes, we know. And Tom Arnold.
Yeah, that's right, buddy.
He's a god as well, right?
Yes, all three of you, you are gods.
Thank you.
Right. I bow to you.
All right, Thank Justin. You. What's going on, buddy?
All right, well, I'm 14. I'm a virgin.
Good
and
times.
I'm planning on having sex pretty soon.
How did a 14-year-old plan for that? How does that work?
Yeah.
Well, I have it set up. She's coming over to my house and stuff.
How old is she?
She's 14, too.
And she's your girlfriend?
Yeah.
And she wants to do this?
Yeah, she wants to do this, I'm already have a condom and
That's the good news. Bad news is this is not going to be a good thing for her particularly. Maybe for you it won't be so bad.
She initiated it actually.
Yeah, I understand, and maybe there's something up with her as to why she feels so driven to do this. But
what grade is she in, Justin?
Oh, she's going into 8th grade.
She's going into 8th grade.
Yeah, I'm going into 9th.
All right. And is she a virgin too?
I'm not completely sure. I think so.
Do you know her name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Do you know her history? Was she abused in any way growing up?
No, she wasn't abused. She came from the most uptight parents you could possibly imagine.
So she's angry with them.
I had to beg and plead and beg and plead, and so did she to even let her come near my house.
Well, how is she swinging it where she gets to come by with the condom? And
does she know your plan? She knows you're planning to...
Yeah, she knows I'm planning to...
And she's coming over to your place?
Yeah, she had already given me a BJ, so I'm planning to get on the gloves and head in for later rounds.
Justin, Mr. Smooth here.
Can I tell you what happened to me, Justin? When I was a virgin until I was 16, and I had a girlfriend, and she was 14, and we were in the car, and I didn't know that we were going to have sex, and we were kind of rolling around, and all of a sudden, it sort of happened. Yeah. So, yeah. And so I was like, oh, man, we're virgins, you know, this is thinking that way, thinking we're going to be together forever. I mean, I was so in love, and she said, you think I should go back on the pill? You know, and she ended up with her stepbrother later. Oh, it's a long story. I think it's in my book.
But you got to read Tom's book.
That's common Iowa practice, isn't it?
Yeah.
In Tom's town,
considered tame by Iowa standards.
But this guy seems like he's got it kind of together, but it sounds like he's got putting on a little show, like maybe it's kind of he sounds...
Well, it's the emotional piece of having sex at 14 people don't think much about, and your brain has not developed to the point where you're able to handle the kinds of connections that come from that type of relationship. You're either not in enough or in too much, and somebody ends up getting hurt, if not both people. So I kind of might want to slow it down for a couple of years.
Right, but he got the BJ. He was going to put the gloves on and mop up round 12.
He is like, what's the I can see by the bottle of Courvoisier.
The ladies'
man. He is the ladies' man.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go now, Drew?
Let's go to four.
Who is this, Drew?
This is Danny, who's 29. Danny?
Yes.
Hi, Danny. What's up?
Well, I guess my question is about, I'm a new dad, and I have some questions about parenting.
All right.
Last year, my best friend and I spent 2 weeks in California, and we happened to be there during the Folsom Street Fair. During this fair, I had my eyes opened up to different fetishes, and I was wondering if you can tell me if there's any connection between bad parenting and fetishes.
Now, it's usually parents that are into fetishes are kooky, and it's not the,
fetish.
It's like swinging doesn't make you a bad parent, but being kooky enough to live that lifestyle makes you a kooky person, which then makes you a kooky parent. So that's what the same with the fetish.
Well, it means that there are aspects of yourself that are tied up in which you need fetishes in order to express and be intimate with someone and have a sexual experience. And whether or not that also prevents you from being completely available as a parent, some people yes, some people no.
How'd you have your eyes opened up to fetishes?
What does that mean?
At the fair?
I imagine like Clockwork Orange, where he had his eyes,
there was toothpaste. Things I didn't realize I didn't know were out there that I found out about.
Like what?
Infantilism.
What's that?
Infantilism.
Infantilism? Where you wear a diaper and crap yourself? And
yeah.
Nice.
In that, are you sure it wasn't just an old group? Sometimes they recruit for seniors' homes out there, and it smells pretty good.
And does your having had a recent baby have something to do with this?
No, I was with my cousin, and his 12-year-old daughter was with her friends, and they were joking about, oh, she wet her pants, and he said that he was going to put her back into diapers, and that made me think that maybe these people who have these fetishes, there's some sort of psychological root started by,
there are some things going on for sure.
All right, so Danny, is this something you're interested in, or are you just exploring?
I just wanted to make sure that I'm not going to do this with my daughter. I want to make sure that I take all the right steps to...
Oh, listen, don't worry about your daughter. She'll be fine. Little prostitution, sprinkling of porn, little dancing, and then it's right to college.
Oh, good times.
All right, buddy. Don't worry about it.
That was the most oblique, bizarre question.
I think, okay.
What, you think it was
could have been. There could have been something there. He might have wanted to tell us something else. That he's got the baby. The baby's in diapers.
There's a joke to follow.
What Tom's
saying is maybe he was concealing something, some truth that he wanted to get to.
Right. So he maybe wanted to.
And I just think he was just worried that his kid was going to turn out like his niece.
Well, was he sexually abused? That's one appropriate question.
Was it line four? Danny?
Yeah.
So anything, is there a question that you're waiting to get to?
No.
Were you abused growing up?
No.
Never?
Nope.
Are you having sexual feelings about children or anything like that?
No.
All right.
And you don't want to wear a diaper, and the only reason you called is you're just a little bit worried that your daughter may turn out like this 12-year-old.
Just a new dad wanted to
Right, a little right. nervous. That's good.
All right, that's fine.
That's all right. Yeah, kids are like, they're like a new car. You know, wipe your feet, no smoking, watch out for that pothole. And then, you know, a couple of years into it, you're driving off-road. You're smoking two cigarettes. You got some takeout in your lap. You know what I'm saying? You leave the keys on the hood when you go in for the night. Windows open.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
That's how kids are. Start beating the crap out of them. You don't have to worry about washing them or wax. So
no.
You got to wax, you got detail, you got armor all. And now, Drew, your kids aren't even allowed in the house, are they?
No.
They got to stay outside,
of
right?
Of course.
Now, yeah. During the winter, I think you throw them like an Indian blanket or a poncho or
three,
something.
Three of them, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. One. Right, each get one. Ooh, you've loosened up.
I have.
Used to just be one. All right, what do you got, Drew? Yeah, all right, three. And who are we talking to? Drew, I'll tell you what.
What?
You call out the person's name and their age. You hold up with your fingers
okay,
the
Angelina,
line they're on.
Angelina, 17.
All right.
You can see the numbers here?
Angelina. Oh, what happened? You added fingers. You added fingers.
Angelina,
you did
17.
Three,
here
and,
we
then,
go.
And then you turned it into five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, what is that eight? Is that eight now?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay. Angelina, 17?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey there.
Hi.
What's up?
I was just wondering if homosexuality runs in family. In the family or whatever?
Female homosexuality?
Yeah, I'm a lesbian.
Not specifically. Not that it has been proven to.
What about kids of lesbians? They're not more apt to be
no,
lesbian, are they?
They're not, no.
Well, yeah, because my mom's a lesbian. So I was just wondering.
However, experiences that parents have in childhood, magically their kids tend to have those same experiences.
Yeah.
So if your mom was abused in some way, she'll magically pick a guy that will abuse her child.
Yeah, my mom was in a relationship for like 5 years, and the guy was very abusive to both me and my sister and my mom.
Well, there you go. And I bet her dad was that way, too, to her.
Yeah, and he was...
So it has more to do with the wiring of one's brain that causes one to act out compulsively traumas from childhood and recreate them in adulthood and have them perpetrated on their children.
Well, it's an interesting experiment because we talk about whether we have two terms here. There's sort of organically gay and then there's sort of created in the lab
right.
gay.
Yeah, yeah, there are people that are just biologically gay.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. True.
For sure.
Well, and then, I'm like 17 and I've never had a boyfriend. I'm not really attracted to
guys. You sound very mature for 17. You sound very mature.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of
old
people
husky.
Say that.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
But if there may be some predisposition that you inherited from your mom and now that she's recreated her childhood for you, same outcome. You see
but
what I'm saying?
Either way, you're into chicks.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah,
you know.
I've never been attracted to guys.
Nothing you can do to fight that.
That's fine.
Better, let me tell you something. Better, Angelina, that possibly this abusive stepdad turned you from guys. Better than going from one abusive guy to the next, trying to recreate daddy, getting into trouble, getting pregnant.
Yeah.
This is better.
Yeah.
Fine.
Keeps Adam happy.
I don't know how long. I think, do lesbians live longer?
No, but they do an interesting thing. They, after about 6 months, several lesbians I've talked to have said this to me, after about 6 months, they stop having sex.
Everybody does that.
Yeah, but it's...
Tom, is something you want to tell us about your marriage?
Well, I do have something to talk about.
Okay.
Are you ready to hear it?
Yeah.
My wife has some sort of a weird situation where she can't feel bumps. Like, she can't give herself a breast exam. It creeps her out, makes her physically ill.
If she finds a bump in her body somewhere.
Or any bump in my body. I've had a knot in my head. I got hit in the head with a baseball, and she wouldn't feel it. The other night, I'm in bed, and I noticed that I have in my scrotum, I was feeling my testicles, and there's an extra thing in there about the size of the testicle. So I'm like, oh, you got to feel this, honey. I don't know what it is. And she wouldn't do it, so it hurt my feelings.
Tom, that would gross anyone out.
Okay, but it hurt my feelings.
I was praying to God you're not asking me to examine your
nails. A urologist wouldn't touch
but
that,
she
Tom.
Went in, but I'll tell you what she did. She went in on the computer and looked up all the information, so I'm going to go to the doctor. Everything looks fine. You know, so, but she's got this weird thing. I wish
did you go to the doctor?
I'm going in a week.
Because it can be a hernia. It can be it's probably a spermatocele or something like that.
Yeah, what's that?
It's a cyst that develops on the table.
It's sort of connected to one of the testicles. I think it might be kicked by a chain or something.
Not a tube, but a chain?
Yeah, tube.
Could be its wall.
Is it kind of like a Super Bowl consistency?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
I like having the extra stuff in there.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. Why not?
Good times.
I look at that as my kit, you know what I mean?
And she's mad at you for having an extra...
No, she just was mad because I got my feelings hurt because she wouldn't at least touch it. I believe if something's weird, you touch it.
Yeah.
You know, or
I believe you sniff it, actually.
Exactly.
Take it a step further.
But she's like, gets creeped out by that kind of stuff.
It's a weird thing. And now here's the thing that's interesting about women. They're very skittish about that kind of stuff. For many, Drew. For the most part. But I'll tell you, nothing a woman likes doing than popping a nice back zit for her man.
True.
I don't know why. I don't know what makes that okay.
That is just exactly right. And I've actually been with one woman, and I won't say who it is, who would save the stuff and eat it.
Oh my God. The back zit stuff?
Everything.
Oh, my God.
She had a little collection. She collected it in a box.
This is like Austin Powers, for God's sake.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Bizarre.
Oh, my God. Tom casually said everything when I said the back zit stuff. He took a beat. He said everything.
Oh, my God.
Which to me now is open to
Let me just finish this on this subject. One quick question to you guys. Do you guys have any perennials on your body? Perennials are blackheads that keep filling up. I have one on my chest that of every 6 months I pop it. I mean, it's the greatest thing because it's huge.
Toothpaste.
It's like long. Toothpaste. What is that? And then you rub it on your fingers and you smell it?
I love that. And I sniff everything too.
She'll do that, but she won't touch
it. No, she won't have anything to do with that.
I do love it when a woman goes at a guy's back.
I love that. And they love it. They're so intense because I think it's partly because they know it hurts you.
And that's why they grow their nails.
Yeah.
I've figured out. But it's tough sometimes when you get in the argument. Oh, this one's ready to go. No, I know.
Right.
Give it a couple days.
Just one more.
It's ready to go tonight.
Baby, don't
rush it. Don't rush it. It's ready to go. You know that argument?
And then it doesn't pop, and they go, oh, one more. Just one. I'm almost there. It's almost. Give me a needle.
Yeah, you know, Lynette's big move for me is she likes to clean my ear out while I drive. And it's my right side ear. Now, my right ear works fine, probably doesn't have anything, and my left is a mess. My left ear is like a family of raccoons living in
it,
but the right, I'm going to have to go to England
or
something.
What did she clean it out with?
Her fingernail.
Oh my God.
And I'm driving. It's really a recipe for disaster. I don't know what she's thinking. Yeah. I'm driving, and, you know, my hair does not hang over my ears, and she's looking. Oh, what's this? She says.
Oh, my God.
There's something in there.
What is that?
I said, leave it alone. So now the finger. I feel the finger in my ear. Now, all I can do is sort of make that face while my hands are on the steering wheel. And she starts digging, and she goes, oh, I got it. And it's always the point where they got it, it's right at the point. I don't know how or why God made man this way, but the point where someone has it is right at the sort of
threshold of your tolerance.
You know, it's like, no more? No, I got it. No more.
Exactly.
I don't know why that point isn't somewhere on the other side of that thing. See, if it was before it, it'd be fine. If it was after it, you never get to it. But it's right there. Yeah. I got it.
Same point.
And I'm like, now she's digging. Hold still, she says, as I sort of wince and try to lean away from her.
And drive off the road.
As I'm driving the whole time.
Oh, that's very nice.
It's nice
that she does that for you. A lot of times people don't want to touch that stuff.
Well, I think women have sort of a grooming.
It's a monkey thing.
It's a grooming thing, and then they also have a thing about clean and bacteria. You know, and it makes sense if they're trying to raise. You know, in the old days and ancient history, trying to keep kids from getting disease and things, they keep clean.
But also, I think it's a way of pointing out the defects that you have. They study. Shelby studies me, and then she's like. Oh, you know, she'll go, oh, boy.
That chest.
You know, that, oh, boy.
The perennial chest.
Squeeze the toothpaste.
Gonna go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I got it. But, you know, I'll tell you what'll get a woman every once in a while. And what they don't go for is we leave a little something behind in the toilet. And here's what busts me every time. I like to talk on the phone on the toilet.
So you don't flush. Don't
but
even
when
know
you're talking
there,
to somebody, you can do everything but flush.
Yeah.
And so what you do is you stand up and you look down and you go, wow, that's a mess. And then you go, well, I'll flush it when I'm done with the conversation. Oh. And you walk out of the bathroom. And then fast forward half hour, the old lady comes home. She makes a beeline to the bathroom. Right. You've hung up the phone. And you're taking a nap now and start screaming. And then they try to. The thing I like about women, too, is they have to pick some sort of evil motivation. It's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I was on the phone. You're just on the phone? So you decide to crap all over the place? No, I was taking a dump. I was on the phone. I didn't want to. So that's okay with you? It's like, stop making it. there's no malice in my anus.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't mean to leave the Duke in the toilet. Believe me, this is uncomfortable for me too. Why do I have to be a bad person?
But you know what's great about this? You could do that 100 times. She does it once, and you're even. I mean, you will remind her something happened. She could be ill.
I would not tolerate that.
It doesn't matter. Then you have to remind her constantly. Hey, about the time you know.
Drew would get a divorce from his wife, and he's a doctor if he saw any number two left around.
Sure no, it's ammunition.
It is ammunition. It really is.
We got to take a little break.
We want to do something special on your wedding night. Have you ever licked his butt?
Tom Arnold, everybody. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Hold on a second. Brian, agua.
I'll take some too, buddy.
Yeah, I know. It's a big... Don't let Tara get me anything.
Why?
Please.
Why?
Because she doesn't... Tara comes in... I asked, how many nights don't I drink water on this show?
None.
All right. So... Tara doesn't, she doesn't know that routine like Brian does. She doesn't, Tara's the phone screener. She says she's an attractive chick and you just can't slap her around like you can like a bald guy with a paunch. Who's Brian, really? Brian, you can yell at, get water. Hot chick trumps celebrity. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or at least.
It evens the playing field.
Adam, let me ask you a question. Does your gal, does she ever pluck right in between the eyebrows?
No, she tells me
to do it.
Pluck between your eyebrows.
Yeah.
And I have to. I would grow one eyebrow and one massive eyebrow.
It's a good one, though, man.
I would grow a massive eyebrow.
Look at Drew's and then look at yours. I mean, it's like not even the same species.
No, Drew's crazy. Show Tom your forearms. He doesn't have hair on his arm.
Oh, yeah.
Drew's like one of these.
Wow. Oh, my God. Do you wax?
No, he's like...
You pansy.
He's like one of these dogs that's bred for people who have allergies.
Yeah.
And I'm like an Armenian carpet salesman, you know?
You have like large caterpillars over your eyes.
You really... But they're nice, so they're shaped like a Eddie Munster. I mean, I don't want to say...
No, go ahead.
They have a little of the Eddie Munster because they got the point. But I'm sure it's your girlfriend thinks it's beautiful.
I think she tolerates stuff. I mean, you know the beauty about being a guy really is there were so many things I was going to fix on myself when I got on TV. I was going to have my teeth whitened. I was going to drop a few pounds. I was going to pluck my eyebrows. I put a little weight on. My eyebrows have gotten even worse. And my teeth are turning green. And I've done nothing. What is that about being a guy? How lazy can you be?
That's what it's about.
How dangerous is that teeth whitening thing?
I don't know.
I bet it hurts.
No, it's just annoying when they give you this retainer to wear around.
Oh, I mean, where you go in there and they just blast you.
They really do it. Yeah.
Well, they hit it with like a little laser thing or something.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Let me know how it goes, seriously.
I'm going to do it because my dentist asked if I had caps in the front, and I'm like, no. Why? I thought he was going to give me a compliment for a change because he usually asks me things like, do you chew tobacco?
Do you eat poo?
Yeah, do you perform a lot of fellatio on Middle Eastern guys? He's very prying, this guy. And I said, no, why? I don't have caps. This is how God made me. And he goes, oh, because the two front ones are really yellow. And I was like, okay, now we're back. That's all right. For a second.
Save the baby! Yeah.
Stop with the dentistry. Don't go down that path.
All right, all right.
Don't do it.
But let me ask this. Let me ask this before we go to the next call. What is it about everybody that has to critique everyone's work that came before them? Like every time I go to the barber... Now I go to my barber because Susie, the girl, cuts my hair when we're taping. Well, we're done now. Well, you know how this goes. When you're up and in production, you have like a full-time hair person.
Exactly.
You become like Frank Sinatra. You get a haircut every week. It's great. Yeah. But then, so the whole time I'm doing the man show, I don't go back to my barber. Then I go back to my barber, and my barber's like, who cuts your hair? And I'm like, Susie, oh, yeah, I can tell it wasn't me.
They all do that.
Then you go over to Susie 6 months later. It's like, who cut the hair?
Yeah.
I swear to Christ, if you waited 3 months and went back to them, they'd criticize their own work.
True.
If they thought it wasn't. And everyone does this. As a carpenter, that's all I did. I'd walk in other people's house. Who worked on this place?
You did not. Because you don't care.
No, I would. You have to knock down the person's work that came before you. Oh, I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just not the way I would have done it.
When you have a profession, you have to consider yourself the expert.
Right.
And everyone else doesn't really, isn't as
But people don't like to be made to feel stupid. Like, if a guy comes in, you want to put in some stereo equipment, he's like, oh, my God, what, who sold you this crap?
Yeah.
This
oh,
is,
yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, okay, I'm a jackass, and now I need
but
you to
But you know what?
There's
equally as bad, which is the guys that compensate for that by going, I don't want to talk about anybody else's work.
I hate those people, too. I want the dirt, man.
Stereo guys are the greatest because you're like, I swear to Christ, I could go down to the Radio Shack and get some speakers for $79, and I would not tell the difference between those and something that costs $18,000.
True.
And you tell your stereo guy, like, I have to beg my guys, like, please, just give me some middle-of-the-road stuff. I don't want the best you have. I want middle-of-the-road. It's like, okay, I got you these two speakers. It's $4,700. I'm like, that's middle-of-the-road? Yeah, that's lower-end middle-of-the-road. It's like, $4,700.
The problem I got is I live in a neighborhood with literally billionaires.
Oh, God.
In this neighborhood. They're like, hey, you know.
Wait till you have kids and they go next door and they want you to
exactly.
get that.
Exactly. Oh, my God. And then, but they're always like, even the gardener's like, I can't believe, because my wife's like, listen, tell me what you're doing out there. Well, I don't. I'm an artist, he says. I swear to God, I'm an artist. I'm putting a splash here and a splash there. That's what I'm doing. And then I send you the bill. She said, well, itemize it for me.
The gardener
says? No, my wife says it to the gardener.
Oh,
he's shocked.
Oh, he's insulted.
He's just shocked. He's insulted. He's an artist.
Everyone's an artist. Everyone who makes more than 22 grand a year is an artist. Chris?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have little white bumps all over my penis and scrotum.
And scrotum. Interesting. Are they sort of symmetrical?
No, they're just everywhere. And at first I thought it might be like new hair, but they're all the way to the tip of the penis and like
they probably are just the glands in your skin, like the sebaceous gland, and it's basically the pearly penile papules, I bet.
Well, it's the glands in your skin, is that like when you get like chicken bumps? I mean, like,
kind of, basically it's like that.
Goose bumps.
Is there hair coming out of the ones in your scrotum where the white bumps are?
No, that's what I was about to say. There's hair coming out of some of them, but I think that's just a coincidence.
You're not sexually active, right?
You should let Tom's old lady give him a feel. Just to make sure everything's on the up and up.
Oh, penis full of bumps.
Be her dream come true.
So what should he do, Drew?
A doctor needs to look at it, but I think it's just the pearly penile papule, Chris. I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. Can I ask one more quick question?
Yeah.
Okay. At the very top of my penis, where like the head comes together, kind of, you know, the cut that they do when they circumcise you.
Right.
There's like this little hole, kind of, that's off center. That's like it looks kind of like a piercing, and I've had it all my life. And
right. That's a leftover scar. Does it fill with like the toothpaste material Tom was talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
What you guys were talking about?
Well, but it's tiny though, right? It's a tiny
little. Yeah, small.
Is that a frenulum there, Drew? That piece of skin attaches to
really
the underside of the head?
It's not really a frenulum.
Why not?
Yes, there is a frenulum
Thank you.
But he's not talking about the frenulum. He's talking about these little cystic areas that develop on the underside of the penis after a circumcision. It's
oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Listen, I don't, as Tom spoke about this perennial on his chest, that's a gift from God.
It is.
That's like God giving you a Rubik's Cube or...
You got to stay away from it, though. You're tempted to get in there once a week, but you got to wait and look at the calendar. It's June. I'll be back in January. Put on a show.
There's a harvest.
It's right.
Yeah, harvest.
You
got
to harvest. Yeah.
Exactly.
You can't yank the tomatoes off the vine when they're still green.
No.
Yeah, I love that. I got one of those in my back somewhere. But you know what? Let me tell you something, Tom, and I don't want to put a curse on your perennial pockmark in your chest that you get to squirt a toothpaste out of once every 6 months.
Good
but
time.
I had one on my back that was the same thing. It was gray, dried up. God cursed me. God cursed me.
Did you tan or something?
I don't know what happened. It's been a number of years now. Can't get anything. And every once in a while,
let me check.
Yeah.
I'll check it.
You want to check?
Yeah.
I'll show it to you, Drew.
Yeah, thank you.
It's handsome.
Handsome.
Nate?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yep.
What's up?
When I was younger, me and my friends used to get high off Robitussin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, well, the drug's DXM was the active ingredient, and I'm wondering what that long-term effects are.
That's dextromethorphan.
Yep, hydrobromide.
What's it called?
Dextromethorphan hydrobromide.
Right, dextromethorphan.
Yep.
And we don't know. A lot of people do this. They call it robo-tripping sometimes.
Exactly, that's what we call it, too.
And it has an hallucinogenic effect, and in my experience, anything that causes hallucinations has the potential of causing brain damage. If you're
we usually didn't hallucinate. Like, we would only take, like, 4 to 6 ounces. Like, sometimes we'd take more, but...
Would you get kind of
I don't really know if that's a lot, but...
It's a fair amount. It's not a huge amount. It's obviously not good for your brain, but I guess the point of my rambling here is that I've never seen any... To this date, I've not seen long-term consequences from it.
Well, I guess that's good.
Yeah.
I drank it all through high school. I'm fine.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, now I have. Now it's over. Anderson was a DXM user, so that speaks volumes about the profound effects.
Is that the guy that parks the cars out there?
I was just showing you where to park. I was being on that side.
Oh, thanks, man. Scared me.
Oh, I was going to be pissed. I didn't know he parked cars for us. All right. Hey, Nate?
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah, well, that's what I was wondering. Like,
you want to end up like Anderson? Huh?
I do it like once a month?
No, come on. Limit? No, yes, no more. That's the time limit.
All right.
Four, 4 to 6 ounces is a container, right?
It's
pretty much.
Container, yeah.
Well, I mean, when you buy the stuff,
eight,
it doesn't...
I think they're eight.
All right, maybe, because they have different sizes, yeah, but, you know, they're not 12-ounce, not a Coke size worth of cough medicine you get.
They have,
you know what I mean?
But that's not what most people would get.
Well, it's pretty slender. It's probably, could be 4 to 6 ounces, so it's probably the whole thing he's taking. Matt?
Hello?
You're 14?
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
What's up?
You're like my god.
Thank you.
All right, I have man boobs, and also, like, underneath my nipple, it's like a marble. Like, feels like a marble under there.
That's the man boob.
I used to have Bonesy.
Yeah, that's puberty.
Tom had that. I had the marble things when I was about your age. I didn't quite have the man boobs, but I had the marble
things. Is there
things.
Anything that didn't happen to you in adolescence?
There's nothing. I mean, nothing, but they went away.
Well, they slid down into a sack, evidently.
Exactly.
imagine if your wife could feel that now. The
exactly.
Man boob. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Oh, Lord.
Oh, poor thing.
I should, basically just wait and let it
Wait it out. You're 14. 13, 14 is when it typically occurs. It's from some of the estrogens produced by your adrenal glands before the testes really do their job. And if you're smoking pot, it can make them pretty good size and can perpetuate that. So,
yeah, I'm not doing any drugs.
All right, you're fine. It usually goes away by itself.
All right, and I have a friend that's been, molested at 10. Mm-hmm. And is there any way, any numbers I can get to get her help?
Yeah, Drew's going to find you a couple. You're calling from Colorado?
Yeah.
I have an 800 number. It's 1-800-540-4000.
540 what?
4000.
Thanks.
All right, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. All right, let's take a little break. Tom Arnold is our guest tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The Best Damn Sports Show, period. Which is on at 8 o'clock and 11, too, right?
Are you promoting anything else?
Every night.
No.
We've got some movies and stuff coming out.
Yeah, I just finished a movie.
But it's not coming out for a little while?
It's not coming out until the first year.
How do they do your schedule over there?
They do, because I bust my ass for them. I work weekends a lot doing interesting things, and they've been very kind. I shot it's a movie called Cradle to the Grave with DMX and Jet Li, and we shot a lot of nights in town here. So I literally had a cot in my dressing room and would shoot all night, sleep for 3 hours, and then do the show.
Wow, man.
And then I had to miss a few days. My voice is going, but I had to miss a few days of work.
Jesus.
But they're good.
But the show's pretty good in the sense that you don't have to write a bunch of scripts and do a bunch of blocking and rehearsal and stuff. Right?
I don't like to do any of that anyway. So, you know, the experts, the athletes on the show, Michael Irvin and John Sally and John Kruk, they got to kind of understand what we're going to talk about. But I like to come in there kind of fresh.
Well, I guess that's kind of your job is not to... I mean, I think, we're running a little bit late now, but I think part of the problem... Before we go to break, with Dennis Miller, who I like a lot as a comedian, on Monday Night Football last year, is he tried to become an expert.
Right. That's a problem. And it would be for me anyway.
The thing is A, you want some comedy up in the booth, but B, it seems like you want Joe Sixpack to go up there and not the thinking man's comedian. But then C, let's not have the thinking man's comedian put himself through a crash course of the NFL and try to hang with the jocks and the commentators. Right. I would have preferred Dennis Miller, who I think is a funny guy.
Just going off the cuff.
Yeah, to ask a question. Why is that guy talking to that guy or what's up? I mean, because in a sense, that's kind of what you're looking for. We don't need another expert opinion up there.
Right.
And I think his ego sort of got in the way, and you could tell that he'd sort of boned up the night before and then would come in and lay out a bunch of stuff that he'd boned up on, and it wasn't intriguing. No. You know, he would have been better off just hanging back and sort of rolling with things and being... the voice of the uninitiated, like Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, let's...
Nothing convenient.
Tom doesn't know what I said.
Nothing convenient about that for him, though.
That's the beauty of Tom. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Tom Arnold in the studio tonight. And phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Tom Arnold, best damn sports show, period. And you can find him on that show at 8 o'clock and at 11 o'clock. That's Fox Sports West out here, right? Is that Fox Sports West everywhere?
Yes. Yeah, it's Fox. There's different affiliates, different regional, but it's on Fox Sports. It's on, literally, if you have a satellite, 24 hours a day.
None of us have mentioned how we're dressed tonight.
Yeah, you guys look good. Yeah. You got your best damn sports show, period, pullovers? Is that what they're called?
I think it would be.
They're having I overheard a discussion out in the lobby here. They call each other before they come in.
You guys look cute. Yeah, and you've both been on the show, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I had a good time on the show.
I did, too. You'll like the fact that Tom pointed out that I once again proved that you're the funny one.
Oh, thank you. You found that out.
After John Crook almost kicked my ass.
The irony, though, of when Adam came on is the day before we had this meeting, and there was a review that said our show is like the man show, and the powers that be are like, oh, boy, we got to clean it up.
Oh,
look what they're writing. He comes in and talks about sticking a thumb up his butt right off the bat.
Yeah, well, I wish someone had let me in on that meeting.
No, it was all good. I love the man. You know what I always say about the man show? They do it right. If you're going to do it, and they do it right.
Oh, thank you.
You know, don't pussyfoot around. If we're going to do that, then let's do that right. But we're obviously not, but you guys did it right.
Well, thank you very much. And I will say that Best Damn Sports Show does it right, too, because I had a good time. I was on like 5-6 weeks ago or something. Just me, I think. Later on,
how hard up were you guys for guests?
I was,
we love having funny people.
Yeah. They're pretty desperate.
Oh, man.
We had John Sally on our show a couple days later. And then,
on the man show.
Yeah, on the man show. And then Jimmy went in when John really threatened to leave unless Jimmy came on his show, on our show. It's a great
cycle. Let me tell you about John Sally. He's always like, man, they're always telling me to be politically correct. What the hell is he? What do they do? And we had this pretty young surfer on, 21 years old, beautiful gal, and they're saying, now take it easy, be respectful. He's like, why do they talk to the brothers like that? I said, no, they're talking to all this. First thing he says to her, I say to her, hey, how do you make your money? Do you have sponsors? And Sally chimes in, Tom will sponsor you. He'll get you the car and the apartment, you know.
Sally, I'm trying to think of, for those of you who don't know John Sally, I mean, his playing days with Detroit, and I'm not sure, and the Lakers.
Yeah.
And John Sally, first off, the Bulls. Sally's like a legitimate 7-foot guy. And by the way, it sucks standing next to guys that are 7-foot tall. It really, my heart goes out to all you short guys out there now, because it is bothersome looking under a guy's chin, looking at a guy's neck rash the whole time. That's horrible. Another thing about John Sally is people think of him as sort of a beanpole, but he's just a big guy.
He's big, yeah.
He's a big guy, and he's funny, and he's sort of likable, and I don't know what the, I can't think of anyone in the NBA that's sort of more TV friendly than John Sally, or comes across better. Brooks?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Dr. Drew, I got a question. I have this wart on my left thumb, and I've cut it off a couple times, and it keeps on bleeding. Is there like anything bad that can happen?
Yeah, I can get infected, and not going to take the wart away. Why don't you get some salicylic acid tape, something you just get at the pharmacy, and cut a little piece of tape off, stick it on there, and that will dissolve the wart until it's gone.
How long does that take?
Mm, a few weeks.
A few weeks?
Salicylic acid tape.
Okay, and can I say, Tom Arnold?
Yeah?
You are the man. I watch the Best Damn all the time.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it, man.
I can't believe I'm talking to you right now. It's awesome.
Hey. I appreciate you doing that.
See what happens, Adam, when you talk about doing self-surgery?
When you do the wart, and let's say you touched your penis, can you give your penis the wart?
There's a possibility, but it essentially never happens.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because everyone would have it.
Right.
I mean, anyone who ever had a wart.
That's true. Exactly.
How long can you go without touching your penis?
Right, true.
Drew, let's talk
to...
No,
we're going to break.
No, we don't. Let's would you shut up? Let's get another call in. Jesus Christ, Drew. Do your job. Come on. Joey?
This is Joey. How are you?
Good. You got a question for Tom?
I have a question for Tom Arnold. First of all, Tom Arnold, how are you?
Good, buddy.
Excellent. I saw you on stage, Woodstock, 1994.
Oh, yes, I was there.
And you were showing off some of your tattoos.
Right.
I wanted to know if you got that tattoo covered up that says, what's her name again?
Well, I had Roseanne's face on my chest, and yes, I did get it removed, actually. Not covered up.
Laser?
Laser removal.
Nice.
Very painful, very worth it. You know, she also had a tattoo on her hip that said property of Tom Arnold, which made me the fourth largest property owner in California.
Okay.
So, you know, I think she had that one covered up. But I'll tell you right now, I did get Shelby's name tattooed on my arm because I'm a jackass. But if I had a choice of never having a tattoo, I would never have a tattoo, period, because it hurts to get them removed. There is some scarring. There isn't with the Roseanne head, thank God, because it's on my chest. But this Grateful Dead thing I had on my arm, you can still see.
Is that a laser?
Wow. Yeah, it's laser. I've had about 6 treatments with it. It kind of takes some of the skin tone out.
Yeah.
And I still could do some more. I might go in for some.
That was a sizable tan.
That was huge. Like. It was a skull with the rib cage and...
Wow.
Yeah.
Shelby was into that, too.
No, she hates. Yeah. She hate. She said,
she'd rather touch your bumps.
Right. And when I got this tattoo, she said, are you trying to find more ways to make you less attractive to me?
Is that what
you're...
nice.
And now, where would the evergreen zit have been on Roseanne's head?
That actually was by her ear.
It would have been by her ear.
It was in this area right here. And that's a painful place because her face went from my nipple to my collarbone, which are the two of the most sensitive areas to get tattooed.
Oof.
And it came over here, and it was sort of her ear.
Tom, you see, if we were friends, I would have talked you out
right.
of that. You see, you should have hung with me.
Right. I wasn't allowed to have friends then.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Tom Arnold after this. Love Line, fast growing outlaw radio, North America. Oh, yeah. We got Tom Arnold in here. I need his hot. Let me do well.
Nice. And we need an extra 2 hours just sit around and talk.
Yeah, we do. We're having
fun.
We're having fun.
Tom, if you'd you'd invite us,
Colonel Mahoney ever been on this show?
It was great. I got to say it on the air now because it was funny. We're talking during the break about hosting shows and Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson is a beloved character around here, but not the world's greatest public speaker. And Chick Hearns, for those of you around the country who may not know Chick Hearns, as he was the voice of the Los Angeles Lakers for like 46 years or something. And a great play-by-play guy, you know, mustard off the hot dog and blows the cha-cha on the whole 9 yards.
He invented the term slam dunk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Chick, I loved Chick. I loved Chick. The only problem I had with Chick is Chick had a continuous announced game streak going of like 4,000 or something. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, he was really, really sick.
It was only a year ago.
No. What I'm speaking of was more than a year ago. He was sick with something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. He wasn't dying. And he didn't want a streak to break.
Yeah.
But he was in no condition to call a game.
Right.
So they wheeled him in, and he went like, mustard's off the hot dog. And then they wheeled him back home, and it was bad. And the other
Cal
guy
Ripken, they
in.
Used to do that to him, too.
Yeah,
he'd just get in the game for a second.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, listen, let's just put it this way. Let's say you had a streak going for never missing a day of work.
Yeah.
But a couple of those days, you actually showed up, just vomited into a trash can, turned around and left.
Yeah.
I count that as missing a day of work.
Yeah.
You show up to work and tell the boss, I ain't coming in today, and then turn around and go home.
Exactly.
That's missing a day.
Yeah.
Streak broken. That's all I'm saying. And let me say, it's still amazing that you did 2,500 games in a row, missed one, and then did another 1,500. Still great, but the whole idea that I'm going to keep the streak going by uttering one syllable into the mic and then getting back.
But that's cool. I mean, there's something about that.
All right, but Chick died about, it's been a month now, three, four weeks ago, and he was beloved here in the Southland, and Magic Johnson got up and did a little eulogizing. And Magic, the first one he did, the first faux pas was great, which is, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, we're not here to hang our heads. Chick wouldn't have wanted it that way. We're here to celebrate his death. which was the first the first screw up. And then the other great one is our Los Angeles Cardinal. Is that some Mahoney out here?
Yeah,
Cardinal Mahoney, who was presiding over the dais when Magic was done. He threw it back to Cardinal Mahoney, except for he referred to him as Colonel Mahoney. Who apparently may have killed Chick with a candlestick in the study. Colonel Mahoney.
Yeah, like
now you see,
the mustard
can't
connection.
Write, you can't write. You can't write Colonel Mahoney.
Yeah.
That's great. Tyson was laughing at that one. Tyson, who I heard once say that he had knocked his opponent in the equilibrium. Now back to you, Colonel Mahoney. Mike,
hey.
And I'm not sure if I was a cardinal, I wouldn't mind. To me,
Curls.
that's a promotion.
Yeah.
You're no longer man of God, you're man of war, but you're up there.
Yeah,
you're making decisions now that affect people's lives.
Mike,
yeah,
me, Mike,
yeah,
you, Mike.
Hey, I was wanting to ask Tom. I've seen a movie, and I don't know if it's on Cinemax or what it is. Horrible movie, but Tom, you were the best in it. You played a magician.
Oh, yeah. I did a little tiny, I think it's a movie called Lloyd, and I just did a friend, some people I used to buy my glasses from. They said, listen, we're going to do an independent film someday, and if you, would you please be in it? I said, all right. You know, if you get it together, they worked really hard, and the whole family put their house up, and they did everything, and they called me one day and said, will you do this and do a little couple scenes in it? And I said, sure. And then it was on TV. This is a while ago.
They lost their house?
No, they actually, I don't know. I think I heard it was tough. They probably should have, but no, I haven't actually seen it.
It was called Lloyd?
I think it was called The Ugly Kid, but they thought that might be too offensive.
So
it was a horrible movie, but you were great at it.
Oh, thank you. Though that's good to hear.
And it's nice, Mike, that you stick with a movie with the potential that Tom may show up at some point and save it.
Every bad movie.
Every bad movie.
Exactly.
You hang with it.
Thank you,
hoping
buddy.
Hoping Tom Arnold is going to show up.
I came in on it where the kid turned the TV on and Tom was wearing, like, this turban with a deck of cards in his hand and was doing some kind of magic trick.
See?
And I said, even in my stone state of mind, I was like, there's no way I'm turning this off. There it goes.
Well, see.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. He did what he could do, Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He did.
All right. And what you're playing, Marshall Brodeen or something, like one of these TV magic guys?
I don't know.
You don't even know. I love that.
Oh, boy.
I love
magic
that.
Magic wand makes my penis grow.
Grant?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much. Can I say something before I get to my question?
No. What's your question?
I have a little bit of a pot addiction.
Uh-huh.
And I have to take a drug test in 2 weeks, and I really screwed up a couple days ago. I was wondering if there's, like, a quick way to get all the THC out of your system.
Not that I'm aware of. You can get one of these High Time magazines or something. They may have things that can...
If you eat a High Time magazine,
however,
it does it.
Grant, I will tell you, as someone that... I know a little bit about what medical review officers look for, and they look for evidence that you're trying to monkey with your urine. If you change the pH, if you put an adulterating agent in you yourself or in the urine, that's considered a positive urine.
Yeah,
so you don't want to do much here if you're going
to
help.
How long does it take to get out of your system?
It's most unless it's a big time, long standing marijuana addict. Usually it's out within 2 weeks.
Well, so then he's schooled.
Yeah, lots of fluids. Eat right. Don't lose any weight in the next couple of weeks. It's stored in the fat. And then you've got to do something about this marijuana addiction.
Yeah.
Who's testing you?
Some people I'm going to. Have you ever heard of a place called Job Corps?
Oh, yeah. That's
for marijuana addicts.
Job Corps is prison with a rake, basically, is what it
and
is. They take people, no, not a hammer, just a rake.
Yeah.
That people, they would it's like either go to prison or we send you up to this mountain to clear brush. That's a Job Corps sort of... It's prison with a shovel.
It sounds like a good place so far.
It's not bad.
For Grant, it might be good.
Grant, yeah. You've gotten into trouble in the past?
I've been arrested once.
And things aren't, you're not heading for Harvard or Brown or Yale or anything?
No, definitely not.
Okay, so here's your chance now. I mean, it's time to quit the weed. It's time to sort of get in line and straighten up. Coolio was in Job Corps, by the way, as I recall.
Cleo was a fireman.
Yeah,
he
cleared. Yeah, but it was like
a
Job Corps thing.
Really, was it?
The job, just, they take felons, they send them to the woods. It's a great plan.
He talked about how he was on firefighting teams, and the team to try to outcompete each other and stuff.
Yeah, see who can clear the most brush. Yeah. All right, so, Grant, take care of yourself.
It sounds much better when he described it. Yeah. It's so much more
Well,
romantic.
I didn't want to offend Coolio by calling it prison with a rake in front of him, but that's what Job Corps is. Drew, you don't know. Let me ask you this. You went to the Little Lord Fauntleroy School for Albino Hemophiliacs, right? Yeah, over there in South Pasadena. Yeah. How many of your classmates went to the Job Corps?
Well, it's 0.
That's right. There you go. That's how you know. But if you go over to San Fernando High, out in the valley there, you'll find that 90% of the class is heading toward the Job Corps. These are prisoners, essentially.
It's like Outward Bound, sort of.
It's
really
Outward Bound.
Thing.
Yeah, this is what we do. It's like, let's see. The clock's ticking about 6 months before you hold up a liquor store, rape an old lady. Let's send you out to the woods. Yeah. You know, it's funny, though. I have a... the thing that's funny about Outward Bound and all these Job Corps things and stuff, it's relative. Like, I got a friend who's a writer, who works for The Simpsons. His name's Donick. Smart guy, little guy, white guy. Not the kind of guy you'd normally picture in the Outward Bound program. Not a troublemaker. Not the kind of guy not violent or anything. No, not back then either. But he grew up in like Nantucket, and he was the worst guy
in that area,
which wouldn't have been. Which would have been on the honor roll from North Hollywood High.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So they just take the crappiest guy from each part of the country and send him to Outward Bound.
It's like Congress.
Yeah. It's Congress with a carabiner. Thank you. Something you used to rappel with, Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put the rope there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tony?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, all right. A couple weeks ago, me and my girlfriend, I've been virgin. And for a while, we've been talking about having intercourse. And, she started, fondling me, I guess you'd say. And I had a hard-on. I was ready for it. My mind said, yeah. Suddenly, I lost it. I started shaking all over. And I froze up. She got embarrassed. She ran out. And now she won't talk to me. And I don't know what to do.
Oh, I hate that.
I don't know. Man. Is it me? Is it her? What's going on, man?
Bogus.
Drew and I.
Yeah.
Bogus.
Yeah.
Don't believe you, Tony.
You don't believe me?
No.
Come on, dude. I'm dead serious here.
No. I don't believe the part about where she ran out.
Yeah, that doesn't fit.
I swear to God, she freaked out. She thought I was dying or something.
What, did she run out and call the paramedics?
No, she went out and told my mom. My mom came in and chewed me out.
For losing your erection?
Yeah, no. For doing it, we're trying to do it with her when she didn't know about it.
What did she tell your mom?
She said that, I guess she told her what happened.
Well, what did she tell her?
I guess I don't know exactly.
You don't know. You don't know what she told your mom.
Only the greatest story of your life.
Even though she came in and yelled at you about it.
Tony, you're such a liar.
I'm not lying.
Stop lying.
Come on, dude. Don't do this to me.
No, don't do it to me. What do you mean?
For like an hour and a half, dude.
Listen, you would want to know every detail of what she told your mom, and so that you could put your story together.
And your mom would tell you every detail.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And why would she run out and tell your mom that he's shaking in there, he just lost his erection? Go do something with that.
Get in there and blow your son now.
He just lost his erection. I'm
what kind of family is this?
Well, I don't want to talk about it for my mom. It's kind of embarrassing.
Liar, whore, you know it.
All right. Drew, is he having a seizure? I don't believe it.
Stories like this, it's very common for guys to lose their erection first time out. Very common. And when a guy gets nervous, he gets tremulous. He shakes, and the penis doesn't work then.
What's upsetting, and it's happened to me maybe twice in my life, is when something happens and the woman says, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And I say, and they're like... They're kind of offended by it, and I'm sorry. It happens twice in a lifetime.
Right,
it's one of those things, and then you feel bad.
Adam, he said twice in a lifetime way too many times. just twice.
I want you to know, in my mind, I put 3 zeros behind that 2. Each time he said 2, I just pictured 3 zeros.
Twice in a lifetime. In a lifetime, I tell you.
Who are you talking to, Tom? Tom's worse than the callers. Well. Like you can't.
No, that's it. Here's the deal. Their thing. That's because a woman feels as though it's a statement about her attractiveness, and then she's mad at you for exposing her to shame.
And women...
Which it would say something about the person you're with at that moment.
Women don't realize that you are as likely to have this happen with Claudia Schiffer than you are with a husky prostitute at some, you know, Nevada cat house.
In fact, if somebody you're super into and it's an ideal person, you're very likely to have it happen.
Right.
Sort of, it's like too much. It's overwhelming, guys.
It's almost better when your penis is sort of indifferent about its journey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Takes the pressure off. Mm-hmm. Do a better job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice in a lifetime. Yeah. Yeah. Twice, I tell you.
Two times.
In a lifetime.
In a life. Which means, by the way, no more.
Yeah,
I mean, however long you live, you don't got another one.
Never.
You're driving without a spare.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Zimp?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, hold on. You take me to the next call. I'm on the John right now.
All right.
You're on the...
Unacceptable.
What's on the John?
What is that? Well, wow. Zimp?
Let's talk to Jesse. Jesse?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I just called to say, well, I play baseball, and I'm a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And after pitching a game for a couple of days, I get this, like, sharp pain in my elbow.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if it was, like, tendonitis or something.
Well, there's a lot of things you can get. Tendonitis is one of the injuries there. Elbow pain is a common thing for pitchers.
Should you soak it in a bucket of ice water when you're done?
You should see a sports specialist to make sure, you know,
really?
He's not throwing. His mechanics are not going to sort of bring your career to a premature close.
Well, what do they do? Videotape you throwing the ball?
Play first base.
Yeah. Right.
And they certainly icing it right now is a reasonable thing to do and take some anti-inflammatories, but you need a diagnosis first. I mean, you can't diagnose it over the radio.
Well, tell your coach and see what ideas he has. Hey, have you not told your coach?
Well, I tell him that, like, after a couple of days it goes away, but I was just wondering if I could do anything else except for, like, icing, because I take Tylenol and all that crap.
Well, take some Aleve.
Leave.
Again, you can't take it for a long period of time. You take it for about a week or so, but you need to see a sports orthopedist.
What do you mean you can't take it for a long period of time?
Well, a six-year-old shouldn't be taking it. You can cause kidney disease and ulcers. And all
like a Aleve can?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, good times. All right, Jess.
All right, thanks.
Jesse, take care. Right. Talk to your coach.
Bye.
Soak in that bucket and, move to right field. Let's talk to Jenna, who's 20. Jenna?
Hi.
What's up?
Wow.
I was just wondering, like, when you give a guy a blowjob or whatever.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, I was just wondering if, like, what to do with the balls.
You can caress the balls.
What?
You can gently pet them. You can stroke them. No. You can juggle them from side to side to side. But don't punch the balls.
Yeah, that was Violent J.
From Insane Clown Posse. Explain what not to do.
That's those guys you ought to have on your
They're
show.
They're from Iowa. They're from Des Moines.
They're from Detroit.
Oh, no. I was thinking of, who's the other best? Slipknot.
Slipknot.
Have they been in here?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
But Insane Clown. Yeah, we should have them on.
Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They like wrestling.
Yeah.
That's a sport.
Yeah.
So, Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
The balls are there to just sort of make sure the penis doesn't blow away.
No, it's sort of
the sandbag at the base of the penis for me. I don't need any ball play.
I do.
You do?
I mean, if just because I don't need it, but if, you know, if it's, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, it's like a loving, it depends on how loving you want to be.
Well, I think what Tom appreciates is the effort. I mean,
you're right.
He has a long history with his wife now when it touches balls. So, I mean, it's a little different for Tom, but. Drew, you don't need any sack manipulation, do you?
No.
It's not bad. I don't know what percentage of guys, I guess here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Most guys would enjoy saying that this girl put the balls in her mouth or licked the balls, right? I mean, most guys would enjoy saying, but I think they enjoy the effort more than the sensation.
And Tom, I want you to know that your publicist, your assistant, they're taking notes. And they were particularly pleased to hear you talk about
Maybe
your preferences.
Maybe they can learn.
What you should do with the two balls is, there was Humphrey Bogart played a character in like a Mutiny on the Bounty or something where it wasn't Mutiny on the Bounty though, but I can't remember what it was. A famous role, he played a sea captain and he had these two metal balls in his hand. African Queen. God damn, I got to think of this thing. It wasn't Mutiny on the Bounty, but Drew will figure this out one day. You won't. I might. Jenna?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. You focus on the penis, do a nice job on the penis, and
When everyone talks about a Hummer, is that true, or?
No, that's just what they call oral sex.
You're 20. What's up, baby? You're not reading Vogue or Cosmopolitan, are you?
No. Someone just said that to me, and I just kind of laughed at it. I didn't know if it was a joke or...
Jenna, it's equivalent to somebody calling it a blowjob and somebody needing to blow. It's nothing to do with blowing or
humming.
Having nothing to do with humming.
Americans are funny that way. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
All right. Have you done this before?
Yeah.
Oh,
I just
okay.
never touched that part.
The balls. They're ugly, aren't they?
I don't look. It's gross. It grosses me out, honestly. Well,
I mean, the best-looking supermodel. I mean, Brad Pitt has ugly balls. There's not a man good-looking enough to make his balls attractive.
Right.
If you took Brad Pitt's balls, and I've done this, cut out a piece of plywood about waist high and just threaded the balls through the hole in the plywood and just hung the balls there, you would be repelled by them.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really the Dartos tunic that's really the problem, too.
What do you mean when it starts
shrinking? The wrinkly part is the Dartos tunic.
Really? What's that thing on there, the seam, what is that called? On your balls, do you have a seam? Like, it looks like it was stitched up at one time.
Yeah, but it's the perineal frenulum, really.
But is that where it used to, could have been a vagina, but then they went?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
okay, got
it. But the Dartos tunic, Jillian got all excited about Dartos tunic when I was over your show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that's when the balls raise up
or
shrink.
That's the cremasteric response. But Dartos tunic is the wrinkly stuff.
But the balls sometimes look like a change purse and sometimes look like a monkey's brain.
Yeah, but
depending on...
Right, but that the thing that hangs down and or becomes like brain coral.
Yeah.
It's a tunic. It's a outer sheath.
Right.
It's wrinkly. The muscle pulls it up.
Is it always Dartos tunic?
Always Dartos.
Always. Not when it gets cold and shrinks and looks brainy.
No, the tunic...
It's always that way.
The tunic is just the thing that's wrapped
around.
Yeah,
if you take a look at from the bottom of your penis, the base bottom of your penis, and Drew, please do not get out this
anatomy text.
No, I don't want to see that. The bottom of the base of the penis.
I'll see it. I'll see it. Pictures.
Right. The honeymoons are. To the bottom of the a-hole, mm-hmm. there's that seam.
Yeah.
And it's as if that's where you were stuffed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where God stuffed you. They shoved the liver in and the heart and possibly the brain on some people, and then it like sealed it up. Like you know when there's like a stuffed animal, there's that part where they had to shove the stuffing in.
And I think the seam in the area gets neglected oftentimes.
Uh-oh. By the ladies.
Here we go, another preference.
Yeah. All right. Noted.
Another Tom Arnold fact.
Noted.
Factoid.
All right, let's...
Is it true?
Let's take a little break. Drew is going to show Tom a very graphic drawing of the testes. And we'll be back after this.
I like these guys.
Hey, everybody. Tom Arnold. We like Tom Arnold, too.
Let's talk about the White Stripes.
Thank you. Adam hates them.
Yeah. What? I like this song.
I do, too.
Don't I?
You talked like a really bad crap about this song.
I did?
Well,
maybe I said it sounded a little derivative.
Anderson, do you actually listen to what Adam's saying?
Yeah, please. Actually, because he was talking to me, blaming it on me, saying that it was like my favorite band.
Like I said, do you listen to what he says? Please, come on.
Is that the guy that parked the car?
Yeah.
I'm the car parker.
We let our valet run the board tonight.
He's got nice highlights, too.
It's just an experiment. Tom Arnold, our guest tonight, Best Damn Sports Show, period. Is the show Fox Sports West or Fox Sports, wherever
Net,
that may
Fox
be.
Fox Sports Net, whatever that is.
Maybe in your town.
Yeah.
At 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock.
And then in the morning sometime.
And do you guys now, how many months or how many years? I mean, I'm trying to think of how long you guys been on.
About 13 and a half months.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a year. Yeah.
Right, it's been over a year. Now, do you notice that you're drawing better athletes, better guests now? I'd imagine you are than when it got started.
Yeah, it seems like it's a lot easier to book people on the show.
Right, like the first couple of shows, it's like, I'll tell you, this dirt track racing has got to be be tough on the family. All the travel and
or we have no guests.
Danger. Or no guests.
Or somebody that knew somebody. We had things like the Gadget Girl, which would come in for a half hour and show us gadgets.
Right. It's really the curse of TV, which is the time you need the guests the most, you can't get them.
Right.
Now you don't need the big names. It's
right.
great to have, but
right.
you don't need Mike Tyson to keep the show afloat.
Right.
And everyone's lining up to do the show. You don't need the Adam Carollas, the Mike Tysons, the Jimmy Kimmels.
Has Kimmel been on the show, too?
Yeah.
He did some stuff for us.
He did. He was on... I
I told you John Sally forced him to come on the show.
Right.
Probably about two or three or four weeks ago, probably.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, this is Zimp, who was on the toilet.
Oh, hey. And I'm sorry about that, man.
Evidently off the toilet now. 17, what's up?
Yeah. Oh, I just want to say, Tom Arnold, you're great in From Hell.
Yeah.
And Drew and Adam, you guys are gods.
Thank you. What's your question?
I had a question. I started going out with this girl a couple months ago, and we've been having sex quite a bit, and my body just started hurting, like, all over. Like, it's like Lyme disease or something, it feels like, a couple days ago. And I wanted to know if that has anything to do with, like, how much we're having sex.
I doubt it. You're just getting sick. You're getting generalized aches, right? You're getting joint aches, muscle aches.
It's not like, I don't know. I just think it feels like it's Lyme disease, but I don't live around any trees, so.
Yeah, Zimp,
I'm thinking.
Stop making a diagnosis.
I'm no doctor, but I'm pretty sure it's AIDS.
Look, you could have arthritis of some type. Have you been having any of the symptoms, any diarrhea or anything like that?
No, it's not like cough, throw.
And is it, Zimp. And is it?
Like my muscles are worn out and my body aches.
And are the aches mostly? Are they axial, like in your hips and low back, or is it your hands and feet and ankles?
It's all over.
All over. You need to see a doctor. There's no telling what this is. That's a sign of many, many, many different conditions, and you need to have that evaluated. Yeah, there is something you get from sexually transmitted diseases called Reiter syndrome, which is what's called a seronegative spondyloarthropathy, which is a type of arthritis. And it comes
from
urethritis.
It's a sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah, and it's a complication of that, at least, maybe.
Well, maybe he's just humped himself dry, too.
No, he sounds like he's getting sick with something. Maybe urine infection or God knows what.
Yeah, at 17, you should be able to just hump and hump and never stop humping. But as I've said, you know, when you're humping...
Isn't that sort of a Dr. Seuss?
Yeah.
Hump and hump and hump and hump.
Exactly. Well, I think hop on pop.
Yeah.
I think that was the metaphor.
I see.
Of hop on pop. Yeah, but the subtext of hop on pop was never stop humping. But I think it was pop. I gotta go back and read.
Work that out, yeah.
Yeah. James?
Hello?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was actually, molested by my neighbor when I was 6 years old.
Was that a male?
It was actually a female.
Wow. How old was she at the time?
I don't know how old she was.
Roughly.
Later 20s.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, so she was an adult.
Did she make you have sex with her?
No, she just pretty much, like, touched me and stuff. Probably the last, like, couple of years, I've just been, like, having, like, thoughts about guys and stuff. And I'm just like, this isn't really right, you know? And, like, I was just wondering what I should do.
You ever had experience with a guy?
No.
And what about a girl other than your neighbor?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a few times.
Well, like what? Like made out?
Like, I don't know, like BJs.
Are you attracted to girls?
You're getting BJs?
14.
Not even into chicks, still getting BJs.
Oh, Adam, sorry. Must be very painful to hear that.
It is tough. That's the toughest part about this show. You know what it is? It's like, I feel like one of those old jocks who got $8,000 a year for playing professional ball, like in the 50s, and I hear about what these guys are making today, and I played two ways, you know, in the snow, at Soldier Field, and blew my knee out and got nothing. Now these prima donnas with their multi-million dollar contracts and their Bentleys and their BJs. How dare you, James?
James, do you continue to be attracted to women?
Am I what?
Do you continue to be attracted to women?
Sometimes. It's just like, I am, but...
All right. Well, you'll figure this out.
Drew, do you smell bogus here, or is it just sort of...
It's just sort of not much to be said about this, because at 14, people are often sort of trying to...
Because I don't know. Am I just, like, experimenting, or like...
I don't know. Well,
How about a little therapy for the molestation?
Right.
Why don't you start there?
Sexually molested at a young age changes your brain chemistry in ways that are difficult to predict, and sometimes in some individuals it can certainly affect the sexual orientation, though... Usually,
I would predict that usually when a male molests a male, you tend to see this sort of homosexual impulses. And when a female molests a male, you often see sexual compulsivity around females.
And there's two forms of therapy that are effective for this. There's a psychoanalysis, and then there's you paying your farmhands to make a bunch of Xeroxes and put it all over your hometown. It's a story of Tom Arnold told us once. I love that story.
It's true.
Oh, what Drew, could you imagine Tom Arnold and Roseanne pulling back up into town and they got their sights on you?
Yeah, but this guy apparently was like dismissive.
Right? Yeah.
He was just an ass.
Yeah, he's an ass.
Tell that. Oh, you mean Tom Arnold's guy?
Yeah.
Tom, tell that story.
Briefly, when I was young, my mother hired a babysitter, a guy who lived across the street from me back in Iowa.
If I could interrupt, Tom.
Yes.
What you don't know about Tom is, because I've read his book, his mom was a very colorful person.
She was very colorful.
That's a piece that has not been filled out for our listeners.
She was married 7 times before she passed away from alcoholism. I knew her until I was 4. So she would drink a lot.
Thus, that is why all of Tom's relationships end at 4 years.
At 4 years,
magically.
Yes.
Magically. At 4 years, boom.
He's like the Olympic Committee.
Right. So she would go out a lot, and she hired the best guy she could find to come in and take care of her little Tommy there.
Right.
And this guy was 18 years old, and he was a pervert, you know.
Right.
He was would do these weird things, which I always was confused as a kid about, you know.
Sure.
And wasn't sure why he was, but he gave me a lot of attention, you know.
Right.
You like that when you're a kid.
Sure.
So he was molesting me and everything. And so when I got sober many years ago, when I was 30, you know, I started talking in rehab, and where, you know, most a lot of people had problems. And I say, well, you know, I was molested by my neighbor, and you know, and they said, what'd you do about it? And I said, well, eventually, he dumped me or whatever. Eventually, we went our separate ways.
Sure.
And, you know, I never told my dad about it because I didn't know what was happening.
Right.
I didn't know what sex was. I was a kid, so. Hey, I started thinking about the guy. I said, well, you know, I'm going to look him up. So I did some checking and found out he was where he lived, and found out where he worked. He had a good job. He was a church leader, white collar, and he had adopted 4 boys. So then I started thinking, well, I better go, I better go confront the guy.
And this is back in Iowa.
Yeah, this is when I lived out here.
He's still in Iowa.
That's right.
With his 4 boys.
So I found out where he worked, and I was going to confront him, and I worked with my therapist for about, 6 months, and so I wasn't angry. And so I went to where he worked.
You weren't angry.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's your therapist?
I hadn't seen him since we'd broken up. I hadn't seen him in many years. So,
right.
So I go there where he worked. First of all, I go up to the receptionist, and at the time I was famous, and she sees me. She goes, oh, my God, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm here to see so-and-so. Oh, I got to tell him. No, don't tell him. This is going to be a surprise. So I go.
How long had it been since you'd seen him?
Since I was a kid. Yeah, because we moved when I was about 10.
Okay.
So 20 years. Easy.
Yeah, 20 years. So I it was perfect timing. It was lunch, and he was headed out of his office, and he ran this company. And I see him there, and our eyes meet, and, man, it was so weird because he looked at me and he knew. I mean, he just never expect. You know, you go about your whole life, and I knew that he knew exactly why I was there.
Right.
So that, anyway, I went up to him and he kind of put his hand out, and I said, you know, I'm here to give you back the pain and shame that you caused me when you blessed me as a kid. And if you tried to do that to me now, I'd break your neck. And, you know, he says, your memories are wrong, and stuck his finger in my chest. And, you know, I felt like I was about 4.
Hold on.
You know,
did he pop that zit?
Yeah, he did. That's what started it. So I felt like I was 4. I was scared for a second. Weird. It took me back in this room in his house. And I could smell the room and And then all of a sudden I realized, whoa, I'm a big guy.
You had a flashback. Yeah.
So I grabbed his head. I said, you know, you touch me again, and I'm going to break your effing neck. I'm going to, so now he got it. And by now people had come out of their offices and were seeing this, and, they kind of knew what was going on. So
they heard you saying all this stuff?
Yeah. So I ran outside. I remember it was freezing in Iowa. It was like feeling so good because I'd confronted him and got in the limo and headed to the airport and, got on the plane. And then as soon as I got back home, the private eye that found him called me and said, well, you know, one more thing. He's going to adopt another kid. And so I got back on the plane and went to the governor of Iowa, tracked him down, and said, listen, you got to help me out here because, you know, I went to my hometown police department. They said the statute of limitations is up. I mean, I did it all.
And he said, he said, we cannot stop this adoption. That's illegal. Anyway, consequently, one thing led to another, they stopped the adoption.
Wow.
You know, which was, you know, very kind. Then I was home. I said, I've done everything I could do. I've helped out. And I said, well, maybe there's one more thing I can do. So I sent my farm hands from my farm in Iowa. In the middle of the night, they put up 400 posters with his name and all his information within six blocks of his house on every pole. Just fill, you know, so the other kids in the neighborhood had an idea.
What did the flyer say? Do you remember
that his name and what his crime and what, you know, the kind of, you know, pedophile and beware of him, his address, and
good thing Tom wasn't angry when he did this.
But let me say this: I did get a little with the reason. Part of the reason I got, you know, when I was thinking about confronting him, I was like, I don't know if I want to confront him. I was in court. My sister was on trial. I'm sitting there, and I'd talk about being molested on on Oprah or something, and this girl came up to me at my sister's trial and said, yeah, I saw you in Oprah. I know who molested you. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, yeah, it was my brother-in-law, because he molested my husband.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, that gave me the vow. Then I'm like, okay, I'm going to do. And it was interesting, because I rounded up the old kids from the neighborhood and you tracked them down. I hadn't heard from them in a while. Very interesting take everybody had. You know, these people I hadn't seen in 20 years. And some people were really embarrassed about it and didn't even want to talk about it. Some people were like, wow, you know, it's, you know, because it wasn't just me.
They've been abused too?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And now,
this is the thing we always say about child abuse, is that one guy can.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds.
Yeah.
So now, when you put these things up, you get the adoption stopped.
Right.
And now, obviously, if this guy is feeling like he's got a case, that, I mean, obviously he did it, because if he didn't do it, he'd be suing Tom and Roseanne
at the
time.
Plus, I said, when I was on television, I said, I'm going to call him blank, and I said his name every time. I pretended that it was a fake name because it's a standard name,
right?
But I said his real name.
Wow.
So I was in my mind. That's not the healthiest way to do it, but I was challenging him over and over again.
And he never brought any.
No, he could. Yeah, never.
Because he didn't want this exposed.
Exactly.
Obviously. Still, I wonder.
Oh, with the kids.
Could you imagine?
But let me just play devil's like perverted cousin here.
Yeah.
Which is, the statute of limitations had run out on Tom's case.
I know.
Roseanne's worth $100 billion. This guy has one of the flyers as Exhibit A. Probably could have come out here with a legal team and sucked a couple million from Tom and Roseanne's bank account anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But obviously,
he would have fought it. This guy wouldn't have the resource to
fight.
That's probably true. It's an inspirational story, Tom.
Yeah.
I do love that story. And I don't know whatever became of that guy. And I wonder, did you ever find out, for instance, about the four boys he did adopt?
Well, he's got a wife. He has a wife. At least, what can I do? I mean, the word is out.
Oh, you did everything you could do.
But, you know, you feel bad, but you also don't want to, you know, you just pray that it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And the biggest problem that, you know, we know from doing this show is that when guys like that victimize these people, I mean, there's a 25% chance they'll come to Hollywood and strike it rich in comedy, but higher than likely chance they're going to stay back in their hometown and do some molesting of their own.
Right.
And that's the syndrome. And that's what makes these guys sort of world-class predators. And that's where in a way, they're worse for society than people that do things that almost seemingly sound worse.
Like killing.
Yeah, in a sense, because as sad as it is, when you kill your victim can't then kill other people or can't destroy other people's childhoods or can't go on and almost continue your work in a certain sense. All right, let's take a little break. Tom Arnold here, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I got a little Kit Kat in my mouth. Tom Arnold is our guest tonight. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh, forget about that phone number.
You get a lot of calls.
Yeah, we get plenty of calls. Yeah, we get enough. Is that Lorene?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Lorene. You're 20. What's up?
Hey, well, I'm a phone actress.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is my callers are coming way too fast. And in order for me to make any kind of dough, I need to keep a 7-minute minimum with each caller.
some advice, guys. What do guys like to hear on the phone? How can I keep these guys...
Let me get this straight. You do...
Are you hot, Daddy?
I thought you were doing, like, Man of La Mancha and stuff over the phone for, like, people that were bedridden or something like that who couldn't get to the theater. But you're just doing the sex talk, huh?
Right.
How do you describe yourself? Because I think they do a little too good a job sometimes. And then it's like, I'm 5'9", I'm a 38 double D, I have...
Oh, no, I keep it real. I say I'm about 5'7", long dark hair, green eyes, 36 C, 24-inch waist.
Have you ever had a bachelor party and...
Hold on. hold on, we gotta go.
Have you had a bachelor party and then someone described themselves like, I mean, honestly, over the phone, they said, this woman is this way, and they get to the door, and you feel so bad for them.
Right.
Because they do weigh 220 pounds.
Listen, I was thinking about this the other day when I had a bunch of people waiting at an airport for me for a chartered plane that was, like, leaving, but not without me, and they said, they called me on my cell phone, and they were like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm just getting off on Sherman Way. I'm on the 405 as I'm basically going down my driveway. And I'm thinking to myself, it's nice that you lie, but the fact that it takes you 25 minutes to get a block and a half from where you said you were, like, eventually, yeah. Like the stripper who says how hot she is, isn't there going to come a time when the truth is revealed?
Yeah.
Yes, and I that's why you have to sort of, it's good to build it up a little bit, but don't, when you're still in your driveway, say you're down the street, don't say you're coming up. So, Lorene, you describe yourself as, is that what you are?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and what do you do, like, is the talk, you're saying the talk is like extra naughty, extra good? Like, talk to Tom, see if you can.
Yeah, hi.
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Hey, Tom here. Talk to me.
So what is
Visa or MasterCard?
I don't know. I just want to keep these guys satisfied.
Hi, Lorene. Tom's your client.
I'm your client.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead.
Hi. Who's this?
It's Tom.
Hey, Tom. I'm Sugar. How you doing?
Good, Sugar. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just relaxing a bit on my bed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What are you doing?
Do you have the 500 count sheets, the thread count?
Yeah.
I bet. Silky.
What are you wearing? This is Tom's friend, Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you wearing?
Oh, well, I'm wearing a tight little gray T-shirt.
Oh, I gotta go.
Oh, God. And my nipples.
Hey, Tom, can you move your car? It's blocking mine in the driveway.
Oh, man. Well, I say my nipples are a bit hard, and I'm wearing a black thong, and I'm touching myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
That's sweet, yeah. Well, listen, why don't you sort of work, like, you know what you ought to do?
What?
Here's what you ought to do, because you don't want to be too mundane, and you want to be sexual, but maybe if she did it in a sort of subliminal way, she could add a little time, like you go, like,
which so the guy goes, like, favorite sports team?
What are you wearing? No, she'll go, like, I'm wearing a lacy black teddy Holocaust with a long
Hitler
camisole. Yeah, cancer. And just see if you could slide in, like, cancer, Holocaust, grandparents. And see what you could do.
That's good.
And I bet it would add some time. So, the mind works. The mind is very interesting that way, bro.
Subliminal phone sex operator.
Right.
SNL ought to do this.
Right. Yeah.
I think they did.
That would. Yeah, they did do it, actually. But I think that would work for her.
Yeah.
Right, let's try that. Let's see. Lorene?
Yes?
Yeah, why don't you try that? So, okay. So here's what you do. I ask you what you're wearing, and somewhere you work in Vietnam very quickly. Very quickly. All right?
Okay.
All right, here we go. And what are you wearing, Sugar?
Oh, I'm wearing a nice lace garter with a nice black lace bra. How's that?
Yeah, but
Vietnam.
It was almost perfect.
Where's the Vietnam part?
You
Vietnam.
Okay, see, listen. It's my fault for attempting to communicate with people.
I was amazed that I thought that you had pulled that off with her, and she was like right on it.
Yeah.
But it was too good to be true.
I know.
Well, maybe she actually worked it in. We just didn't notice it.
Yeah.
I did notice my penis take a little dip in the middle of her description. You're interesting. True.
Well, I'm telling you.
All right. I got to try one more time. But they're just Lorene?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me explain. I have this subliminal suggestion, idea.
Don't use that word. It's too.
I have this quick word thing that's going to hurt the guy's penises, okay?
Okay.
Now, when you describe what you're wearing, I want you to very quickly work in the word Holocaust.
Holocaust?
Holocaust.
Okay.
Think of it as easy word. Cancer.
Do you know what the Holocaust is?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Boy. Oh, boy.
All right.
Oh, boy.
All right. That's all right. Hey, by the way, LA Unified Schools District, everybody. I'm a product. God bless you guys. You're really doing a job over there. Subliminal, Holocaust. Okay. Work in cancer.
You know what cancer is?
So put that in. Okay, great.
All right. Work in the word cancer when you're describing what you're wearing, all right?
Oh, most definitely.
All right. You ready? Bring.
Hi, how you doing?
Ooh, hi, what's your name?
I'm Sugar. Who
Sugar,
are you?
I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter. Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
Yeah, burn those shoes, gas them in the shower, baby. Yeah,
I'm sending you my bill.
Yeah, send them on the train to Krakow. Yeah. No, Lorraine, we may need to tweak this just a little bit more.
But that was good.
Right. No, you take direction is good as any actress I've worked with in this town.
It really is good.
All right, Lorraine, that's your new angle.
Yeah.
there it is.
She should actually try that tonight.
I'm thinking about the whole
All right. I think we got to take a break. Well, where did the time go? Always flies when Tom Arnold is in the studio.
Thanks, guys.
Always good to see you, Tom.
Good to see you guys.
Best damn sports show, period, on FoxNet. And that is 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And best of luck to you, Tom.
Thank you. Come back
anytime you see fit.
Thank you, guys.
Always enjoy. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Bring.
Hi, how you doing?
Ooh, hi, what's your name?
I'm Sugar.
Sugar, I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter. Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.